Really happy to be welcoming to the program today the chairman of the Board of Governors for Quincy College, Paul Barbadoro, to chat a little bit about all the discussions that's been happening with Quincy College recently and how the board is dealing with it. So, Mr. Barbadoro, really nice to virtually meet you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you being here and talking about the college.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Maybe we should start with a little bit about yourself and how long you've been on the board and a little bit about your background, if you could.
Sure. I actually went to Quincy College. I didn't graduate because I transferred before I graduated. But after high school, I had taken a couple of years off and wasn't sure what I was going to do and went back to take some courses at Quincy College and got interested. And once I got interested there, I went on to UMass Boston and then Suffolk Law School. And so I received my JD in 1982 and I've been an attorney ever since. I was in the district attorney's office in Norfolk County, and then I was in private practice. I was also legal counsel to the Quincy Police for a couple of years in the 80s. So I'm currently the managing partner of a 16-lawyer law firm in Quincy, and we do all kinds of different laws. I've been on the Board of Governors now for 11 years, the last 3 years as its chairperson. So I've had great opportunity to work and see how the college works and work with the various administrations along the way. So,
what was it that prompted you to get involved with the governance of the college?
I think because I had gone there and I had seen a lot of what was going on during the time 10 or 11 years ago and how they were searching for new folks and to have some new ideas and input. When I saw some of that being advertised and asked around, I decided that I wanted to give back to a place that actually got me started.
Yeah, and really, your experience is very indicative of it's the college's mission, right? Is to give folks a chance to figure out what they want to do.
Correct, and there's so much of that in this community. I've run across so many different folks and all different types of businesses and walks of life that started at Quincy College at one point or another and went on to stay in the community.
If you could explain for folks how the college is actually governed, if you will. I think it's unclear to a lot of people that it is a city-owned institution. However, it has a separate governance. So if you could explain that.
Sure, a little bit. In the last few years, it's changed a little. Prior to that, it's always been a department of the city and still is. However, the president and his administration works with the Board of Governors to administer all the policies and fiscal policies of the school. What happens is the Board of Governors' basic responsibility is to oversee the budget, is to oversee any changes in administration or policies that may in effect have a adverse or positive effect on the college and its enrollment. The administration pretty much runs the school, but the board looks at the compliance issues, the budget and the compliance issues. In the last few years, what's happened is that the state boards, one called NECHI, higher education boards, have looked at the college and said, listen, you are the only college in the country that has a tie to a government, city government. And being the only one like that, we just wanna make sure that you are implementing policies and have a fiscal policy that is not so tied to the city that you can't act independently. So there was legislation filed to separate some aspects out away from the city, but the city has always been a partner with the college in terms of its reporting, in terms of its different employment practices and we get inventories and things like that, and especially in terms of employment of folks that wind up in the system. So we have always been tied to the city, but always been able to run a little bit separately our governance and our fiscal responsibilities. The board right now is, we have 13 members And it changes every once in a while. We have, you're appointed to 6-year terms, and you can't have more than 2 terms. And so we meet a dozen times a year, once a month, pretty much, on a full board. And then we have various different subcommittees. We have a finance committee, and we have a compliance committee, and we have a personnel committee and a program committee. So all those things that the administration wants to run through the board and does run through the board, we work together with and work on those programs and work on the budget together. So it's a good partnership.
So you do feel then that's a good way to run the college, or you don't think it should be completely separate?
No, I don't. I think, you know, the college has its identity. I mean, it's really woven throughout the fabric of the city. We have folks that that have come from various walks of life and comes through the city and understands once they hear that the college is part of the entire community in the city. I think there's a good partnership between the city government and the college, because together we can accomplish a lot more. It allows us to have an accountability to the city if we need to. It allows them to have access to our what we do, and it is part of the culture here in the city. I think having us totally separate from the city is not really a good idea. I think that we can rely on certain aspects of the city for advice and for help at times, and they can rely on us as well. And I think it's a good combination. It's a good partnership.
As I mean, you're well aware, there has been discussion recently about how the college is a financial drain on the city, if you will. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, let me get to that. That's a misconception to a large part. So in the last 4 or 5 years ago, let's say, we had a problem 3.5 to 4 years ago with our nursing program. Prior to that, the city was not affording us really any financial help because we didn't need it. We had a problem with the nursing program. The nursing program was taken from us for a short period of time, for a year or two. During that time, we experienced a drop of enrollment. There was a drop of enrollment across the country anyway as well. Those two things really came together. As soon as those things happened, our board got together and we changed the administration. We changed the president and the leadership, and we changed also the leadership of the board. That all changed. That's when I became the new president, and that's when the mayor stepped in as well and helped us to a great deal, because there was a fiscal problem coming on. The budget was already set. There was already rental and other obligations made, and it didn't look like we were going to make all those commitments for that year and maybe 2 years. So the mayor came in and was absolutely fantastic in helping us find a way to reduce costs, to fix the budget so that we were going to be in good shape before we could go on and hire somebody more permanent to be the president. So between the change in the board and the change in the administration, we were able to do that. Was a time and a couple of years ago in this past year where the city did help us financially a little bit. And it was a great help, and we needed it at the time. We really did. But in the last 3 years, the board has got progressively fiscally more sound. Just last week, Joe, we passed a budget that was a balanced budget, and it anticipated revenues. It anticipated enrollment declines. It anticipated all those things, the increase in rental that we have. It anticipated that as well. And we expect that by the end of this fiscal year of 2022, we will have reserves in excess of $10 million. So we are not in a fiscal crisis. The administration under President DeChristofaro has done a tremendous job of finding new sources of revenue and creating new programs to to what we project will be a nice increase in enrollment in the next year. We did get some help, and it was needed, and it was very much appreciated. The city officials were great helping us with that. But we're going to be okay. We're going to be more than okay. We're on a great path now, and I think with what we've identified and what we're going to have going forward, we're going to do really well.
How has the pandemic impacted Quincy College? I know it's had an impact across higher education nationwide.
Yeah, correct. It really has nationwide. However, when you look at the drops of enrollment, and we have done a great job, the president and his staff have done a fantastic job with online programs and increasing our advertising budget so that we can attract good students. But when we look at what's happened over the last couple of years, places like Bunker Hill and Massasoit had drops of enrollment of 15%, 17%. We're at 6%, one of the lowest across the state of any community type college in the state. So we kind of held the line a little bit, and it was difficult. The instructors were great with their online programs. The programs that we offered increased. It was really going into the new world of more and more online education. It was really sort of a blessing in the only sense it was, is that it made us push towards more online education, and we've done that, and it's really helped.
Do you think that's something that will continue post-pandemic?
Yeah, I think it will. I think the more opportunities there are for folks to take a course and fit into their busy schedules. You know, what people don't realize is most of our students, the average age of our students is 28 years old. These are not 18, 19-year-old kids. They work. Most of them work either full-time or a good number of hours part-time. And so they need opportunities to take courses and fit them into the schedule. So our online programs are becoming more and more prevalent, and we're offering more and more of them all the time. So it's going to be part of the future.
Do you feel, Mr. Barbadoro, that Quincy College needs a permanent home in order to succeed into the future?
Well, I think that's kind of a two-edged sword. In order to succeed, in order to be the best we can, yes.
Okay.
And I'll give you a couple of reasons why. Some of the reasons are fiscal, and some of them are just community-based. Fiscally, you know, it's difficult to project what your expenses are going to be when you're in a rental situation. Okay. What's being proposed, or what's been talked about to some extent, is a rental in a new building that would be a fixed rental for a long, long period of time. That allows you to plan around that. As an example, next fiscal year, our rental costs increased by $1 million. Hmm. So how do you make that up? You increase, increase tuition. We do as best we can, no matter what, in trying to increase enrollment. But do you cut costs? Do you cut professors so that the education's not as good? Do you cut your online programs? So how do you do that? We're able to do it right now, but in the future, that's going to become more and more difficult. Rental rates are going to, we know over a course of time, years, they're going to go up. And so you need to meet that somehow. So in that sense, it would be very helpful to have a permanent place. Also, having a permanent place also allows us culturally to increase enrollment. Because what we can do is say, we have now a place in the city where it's a hub. It is a campus, more or less, more than it certainly is now, because we're spread out right now. And we're never certain where we're going to be. So having that ability and able to give prospective students that type of picture of what it's going to look like, where they're going to be, what's around it, the facilities and all those, is really helpful to increasing enrollment and increasing their experience, which in turn allows them to recommend the college to others, right? So there's that is, it would be very, very helpful to say, this is where we are. This is where we're going to stay. And we can build around that. So yes, I think it's important for us at some point to have a permanent home.
Does the College Board support the mayor's plan to use half of the federal grant money that was awarded just to seek a new home?
We have not discussed that as a board yet for a couple of reasons. One is we haven't got the money yet.
Right.
Two is, you know, it just like the CARES money and all those things, the government keeps coming out with different guidelines on what you can do with it. So that it's not completed yet.
Okay.
We will talk about it when it's proposed to us in a board meeting, when we have a better idea of what we can and can't do and what we and what our job is in terms of administering that money. So probably, I would say, Joe, at our August or September meeting, we'll discuss that in more detail.
Okay. Do you actually have I don't mean to hit you blindsided, but just enrollment figures in general now as compared to, say, 2019 or pre-pandemic, if you will?
Yeah, I believe we've gone up in the last 3 years.
Okay.
I think right now, I think we have 3,100 students. And I think my memory is that in 2019, we were at 2,900 or just under 3,000. So we've gone up, and I expect that we'll continue to go up. Our projected nursing enrollment for this year coming up is already above what it was last year, and we haven't finished taking applications.
Okay.
So I think we're in good shape moving forward in terms of our enrollment. The administration has done a great job with that.
Okay. So your tenure on the board is coming to an end soon. How, you know, would you like to see the college kind of proceed into the future? You know, what would like your legacy to be?
Well, I'm not sure there's any legacy to speak of, but I think that the board itself, I think, is committed to trying to get the college in the best position moving forward into the future and that includes the new programs, the new sources of revenue, the early college program that mm-hmm. the president has implemented is going to be a big help, especially in bringing in more and more City of Quincy students from the high schools. I think what I'd like to see is some sort of definition as to where we're going to be as down the line, even if it's not an exact address, but a commitment towards getting a permanent address. And I'd like to see some of the programs that it's now being implemented, the president is implementing now, have a year or two of fruition mm-hmm. into where it's gonna be, it's gonna be accepted as a way going forward. We have a dedicated board and some new members that have great experience, and they are going to carry on without any problem all these policies that we've talked about and worked with the president on. So I have no doubt it's going to be great. I've got 1 year left and I'm looking forward to it, but after that, the college and the board's going to be in great hands.
So you feel the college then is in good leadership position right now going forward?
I do. We have great people with vast experiences across the spectrum, and you know, they're going to do a great job.
You know? Do you think Quincy College will remain relevant in the going forward?
Yeah, I think it'll remain relevant and even more so.
Yeah.
What the college is doing to a large extent is when we have students there and they're in the programs that we have, they are not only trying to find jobs in and around the city because of their busy schedules. And like I said, they're an older group. They're 28 years old on average. They're getting jobs after graduation. Even if they're going on to other education, they're looking for jobs in and around the city. Our partnering with the businesses around the city, you know, the sheriff's office, NAGE, and a few others are working with us in employing these folks. These folks are going to become part of the community. They are going to contribute to the community in a various number of ways. Some of them are going to buy houses and live in the city. They're going to get jobs in the city. It's going to contribute tremendously. And I think, especially if we get a full-time home for the college, it's going to become more and more relevant. And it's going to be really part of the fabric of the city of Quincy. I mean, it's woven in there all throughout right now, and it's going to be even more so in the future.
Well, it's, 65 years, I think, something like that this
right,
year.
Exactly, yep.
Anything else you'd like to let folks know about right now, Mr. Barbadoro?
No, I think it's the important thing that I'd like folks to know, we've talked about already, the college is in great shape. We did need some help a few years ago. We're okay now. We're going to be better in the, even better in the future. We're strong financially. We have a strong group with the President DeCristofaro and his administration and a very, very talented Board of Governors. College is going to do very, very well in the future. And I just want folks to know that you know, we are in dedicated not only to the students, but to the community. And I think even our sports programs, Joe, we got sports programs now that weren't there in the past. They're contributing as well. It's going to be a very strong partner within the community in the city of Quincy.
You know, the mayor has called education the great equalizer. He sees Quincy College as a key player in that equalization, if you will, with all the talk about, racial justice over the past year or so. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely. You know, 46% of our students are students of color. 65% of our students are female. We have a diverse group, and we have great folks. 62% of our students receive financial aid. Okay, and another 30-odd percent get Pell Grants. So it is a great equalizer. It's an opportunity. And we don't want to lose that opportunity, especially if we were governed in some other way, okay? Because we have that opportunity to bring folks on and to help them and guide them and also indoctrinate them into the Quincy community. As I said before, Joe, these folks are getting jobs here. They are staying here. Some of them are buying houses or renting here. That is all part of the opportunity that Quincy College provides.
Were you surprised at Rob Hale's gift to the graduating class this year?
Wasn't that fantastic? Yeah, it was a great surprise. And he's just such a wonderful entrepreneur and a believer in education. And he believes in Quincy College. And it was a wonderful thing. What a lot of folks might not know is shortly thereafter, he conducted a job fair at the college and in which he talked to students and talked about jobs and talked about getting them help in the community. And he's just a wonderful person and it was a great surprise. It was a lot of fun.
In fact, it was, I think, 2 days after graduation. He wasted no time. Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah, he really believes in the college, and it's a wonderful thing.
Sure. I appreciate your time. Really great to talk to you. If folks wanted to learn more, what would be some good ways for them to do that?
Sure, they could email me or call me. My email address is paulb@bbb-lawfirm.com. They can call me at the office at 781-848-9610. They're welcome to do that. Obviously, they can always call the president and at the college or his members of his staff. Feel free, because we really want to spread the word that Quincy College has really done a great job coming back from some minor disturbances, but we're ready. We're on a path to really take off, so we're really happy about that. So thanks.
Appreciate your time. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you very much, Joe. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.